So today I'm announcing that a group of us led by the Wilderness Society Tasmania and on behalf of all Tasmanians are taking the fight to defend Tasmania's Wilderness World Heritage from exploitation and privatisation to the full bench of the Supreme Court and appealing the recent decision against our previous appeal in the Supreme Court. This is all about keeping Tasmania's national parks public, intact and free for everyone to visit. The Tasmanian way of life is all about the right to roam, the freedom to experience world-class wilderness in our backyard. That's why so many people find it objectionable that so many Tasmanian national parks could be privatised for private profit at the exclusion of everyone else, especially if all the EOI tourism proposals in the pipeline destined for the World Heritage Area go ahead. Fundamentally, we want the government to change its Unlock the Parks policy, which is splitting the tourism industry, splitting Conservative voters, splitting the Parks and Wildlife Service, and is fundamentally against the Tasmanian way of life. The COVID-19 recovery period affords us the opportunity to get our tourism policy settings right. This is something we're saying yes to. Our legal advice is that the court made a number of legal errors in reaching its decision, including that the tribunal did not have, this is the Tasmanian Planning Tribunal, did not have jurisdiction to assess Wildrake's scheme proposed for Lake Malbina against the Tasmanian Wilderness World Heritage Areas Management Plan. We think the tribunal could and should have undertaken its own assessment into Wildrake's compliance with that management plan. We also think there were errors in how the court characterised parts of the Central Highlands Interim Planning Scheme. This means we think that the court effectively left hanging how the Wildrake proposal should relate to the TWAR's management plan and vice versa, and what precisely is the role of the Parks and Wildlife Service reserve activity assessment instrument. I'm happy to take your questions. Well, we believe, our legal advice suggests that we have reasonable legal grounds, and as I've mentioned, our advice is that there were errors in the court's previous decision, and that's a key consideration for us taking this appeal.
How disappointing was it having your previous
appeal? Well, it's obviously disappointing not to win a court case. But anyone who works in environmental campaigning and defending nature is used to setbacks. Fundamentally, we're not going anywhere when it comes to defending Wilderness World Heritage Area and keeping Tasmania's world-class national parks public and intact. Well, let's see how we go in the court, but it's important to remember that it feels, I guess, that we've only really just begun this campaign, and there's plenty of options in the bag. The one we're pursuing at the moment is the legal option.
How important is this case in the context of the other EOI cases? Is this going to set a precedent for other governments?
Well, yeah, I think it is really important, and it's important to remember that our campaign in this case, it's not just about the impacts that the Lake Malbina proposal would have, although it would, if you refer to our wilderness impact assessment, it shows that the Lake Malbina proposal would materially degrade wilderness values. If you multiply that degradation of wilderness values by the 30 or so proposals in the pipeline for the EOI proposal, it's no exaggeration to say there'd be no more Wilderness World Heritage Area for Tassie. So it is, the Malbina case has become a marker for the wrong-headed Unlock the Parks policy and the mechanism to realise that, which is the EOI process. I think a lot of tourism operators are probably watching this case, and they're right to do so. And fundamentally, the opportunity here, like I said, is to get the policy right. And the EOI tourism architecture, if you like, would be much better suited, focused not on developing remote national parks, but helping local communities in Tasmania develop their own tourism proposals that would be popular. Developing Tasmania's national parks is absolutely unpopular, has no social license, as the two bouts of public submissions have shown. Literally over 99% of people in Tasmania oppose the policy and the Lake Malvina proposal.
Does the Supreme Court have to take the appeal? Is there, you have to get leave to appeal?
There's no leave to appeal. The notice of appeal was filed yesterday and has been accepted by the court.
What sort of timeline are we looking at to get a hearing and a decision?
Really, that's a matter for the court. However, we expect that it will move quite quickly through that process.
If this appeal gets knocked back as well, will you be able to try for another one?
Well, the final point of appeal is to the High Court. You do need to seek leave to appeal to the High Court.
Is this a case that the Wilderness Society or the ADO would look at taking to the High Court if unsuccessful?
I think let's not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, you know, like I said before, there's plenty of options in the bag still. There's other legal options in the bag. The High Court is one of them. But whether, you know, depending on how the legal avenue goes, there's lots of, you know, options beyond that as well. So, you know, we're confident that at the end of the day, the government at some point will change its Unlock the Parks policy because it has no social licence.
You get the sense that this is also an unpopular policy within the Parks Service. We saw the email last week about call for loyalty to the Parks Group.
Yeah.
Troops have been unhappy about this.
Well, look, absolutely. What this means is that this all stems from the Unlock the Parks policy. So, you know, a lot of the people supporting the campaign to keep Walls of Jerusalem National Park public and lots of other national parks public are probably of a more conservative persuasion. So, you know, you're seeing a fracturing of the conservative base based on this issue. You're seeing the tourism industry split because of this issue, because of the Unlock the Parks policy. And you're seeing reverberations go through the Parks and Wildlife Service. A lot of amazing people in the Parks and Wildlife Service who want to do the best thing for Tassie nature. And it seems clear that they have misgivings about turning into a service for developers.
Forgive my legal ignorance. Are you able to introduce new evidence in this kind of appeal?
No, this appeal is purely on a legal point. And that's important to remember. All of the appeals to the Supreme Court have been on legal points and not about the merits of the proposal. We've seen some comments in the media recently about the Supreme Court decision and the tribunal decision being an endorsement of the Parks and Wildlife handling of this case. However, none of the tribunal or the Supreme Court's decision actually is an endorsement. Specifically, they found that they did not have jurisdiction to look into that process, so they're specifically not an endorsement of that process.
And further to what Claire was saying, from our point of view, it's quite frustrating that, you know, we want to talk about luxury accommodation in the self-reliant recreation zone, we want to talk about impacts on nature and wilderness, we want to talk about shonky process, and then all the time things turn on, someone says, well, on what basis can you make that argument, and we go from talking about the merits to the legalistic argument, which is okay, but, you know, we really want to have our day in court where we actually talk about the merits of the case, and thus far we actually haven't done that in a way we'd like to see.
Well, and that's why this appeal is so important, is because that it is defending the community's right to have a say on the merits of proposals and have that say assessed by an independent arbiter. The Wilderness Society and the other appellants introduced a great deal of evidence before the tribunal when the planning appeal was originally heard. And that evidence, unfortunately, wasn't assessed or weighed or considered by the tribunal because they made a jurisdictional decision that was that they didn't need to look at the merits of the proposal.
Who's the respondent in this case? Is it
There are two respondents. There's Wildrake, obviously, and then there's the director of the Parks and Wildlife Service.